You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
We all need health care, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Talked to Don King briefly this morning. Called him up.
Yeah.
Did you feel like doing some radio today?
No.
That was it. That was the end of the conversation. Hung up. I said like three words. The bottom line is he seems to be feeling well. I talked to him a couple days ago. I mean, he seemed lucid. I mean, he's going to be 90 years old, I think, in August. So he seemed real lucid. He seemed sharp. Of course, he was ranting on and on how he was a victim. So I knew Don King was in. He was Don King, being the victim, no doubt about that. Last night, guess who was the victim? Maurice Hooker. Man, I'm going to tell you. Virgil Ortiz, of course, 17 and zip, 17 knockouts. Hasn't went past the seventh round yet. Of course, a TKO winner in the seventh round last night over Maurice Hooker. Of course, Hooker, a former 140-pound champion. But I'm going to tell you like this. Had Hooker been really disciplined, had he really been the guy, he'd have been fighting at 135 or 130 pounds. I'm just telling you like it is, because when you're tall and lanky and you can't put on armor, you got to go down because you can't take it. You know where I'm coming from? I'm Diego Corrales. 130 pounds, he was fine, of course, till he ran into Floyd Mayweather. But, and of course, he wasn't mentally or physically together for that. He was ready to go to jail. But bottom line is, he was a tall, lanky guy. He got down in weight to the lowest possible weight. Maurice Hooker didn't do that. Fought at 140 pounds. Of course, he got starched at 140 by Mr. Ramirez. Got starched last night. Actually, he didn't get starched last night. The shoulder went out or his elbow went out. But the bottom line was, it was a nice time to end the fight. I mean, it was a nice time to fight. He wasn't really severely hurt. And I don't want to listen. He was beaten. And like I've said before, once you're beaten in a fight, once the fight's like non-competitive, why go on? Are you that barbaric that you want to see somebody get pummeled some more? I mean, you don't need to see that. This is an athletic contest. Once it's over, competition-wise, the fight should be over. Guys shouldn't have to take prolonged beating. Once again, Maurice Hooker now 27-2, 3 draws, 19 KOs. I suggest a comeback at 135, trying to stretch his skinny butt down to 130. The co-feature, and I'll get to her a little bit later in the show, Senencia Superbad Estrada. What can I say about this woman except that she's like Hector Camacho female. A female Hector Camacho. She's the macho man. I mean, she talks smack. She's good smack. She makes sense. She fights left-handed, right-handed. She's got some of the best foot feints I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, when you get foot feinted, how can I put this? She just was convincing with all of her aspects of the fight game last night. She was convincing. I think she's 20 and zip now with like 8 knockouts. And of course, the girl that she fought was no stiff. I mean, Annabelle Ortiz came in at 31-3, left at 31-4. Annabelle's shortcoming was, I think she was a 102-pound fighter fighting a 95-pound fighter fighting at 102 pounds. And the size really matters. I know I keep saying this week after week, show after show, but size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Last night, Estrada looked two or three weight classes bigger than the defending champion. It was a WBA minimum weight champion. Of course, that fight went to distance. The scores were 100 to 89 times 2, and then 99 times 90. Bottom line is it was a shutout. Good fight, no doubt about that, from Miss Superbad Estrada. We'll hear from her in hour number 2. Now back to Mr. Ortiz. Where does he fit in the welterweight picture? I mean, seriously, you've got Errol Spence, you've got Terrence Crawford. I mean, these guys are the supposed two studs, but I think that I saw Spence again last night. I'm telling you, I think Spence smokes a lot of weed. I was just looking at Errol last night. Every time I see that brother, he looks like he's got one of them Oakland buzzes, like he's smoking the chronic or something like that. So maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Maybe he just looks sleepy. Hector Martinez says he just looks sleepy. You're the weed guy. He's not the weed guy. Anyway, bottom line is Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford, both ringside last night, of course, for this win by Ortiz. And speaking of Ortiz, let's see what he had to say post-fight.
Virgil, congratulations. You shared a moment there with Maurice Hooker. What did you say to each other?
You know what? I wanted to thank him for giving me this opportunity. You know, I wanted to fight at 140. You know, I felt like I could beat him. And you know what? He didn't have to take this fight. I'm not to give myself a big head. I feel like I'm a problem at 147. He didn't have to take this fight on his first 147 fight. But, you know, I give him props.
You had said coming in this was the toughest test of your career. And it felt like we were watching the best performance of your career. How did you feel in there?
I felt like I did pretty good. You know, there's always room for improvement. Always, you know, I felt like I could have done a lot of things better. But I mean, overall, I think I did okay.
this was a knockout win for you, but this was a tough fight. You can see by the markings on your face. What was Maurice Hooker showing you early?
He was showing me that he was durable, definitely. He could definitely take a punch. He really could. He was smart. He was trying to get around my guard. I knew what to do.
What was the game plan coming in?
The game plan coming in was just to slow him down because I knew he was going to want to box. He wouldn't want me to stay inside. I neutralized it.
You wound up finishing this fight, but during the fight, as you're landing a lot of power punches, was there a part of you thinking, look, I may have to go the distance here?
Honestly, yeah. I did think that I was going to go the distance at some point in the fight because, to be honest, the headshots weren't hurting him at all. He could take a punch. I'm not going to lie. I knew that it wasn't going to be the head, so that's when I started investing to the body.
You have said that every fight since the Mauricio Herrera fight, you have gained more confidence. What does a win like this do for you?
Definitely gives me more confidence to I believe in myself more that I'm ready for a title shot. And just whoever's willing to give me the opportunity, I'm very respectful. I'm not going to call anyone a bum. I'm not like that at all. I respect every fighter that comes into this ring.
It just so happens that three pieces of the welterweight title are actually in the building tonight with
really?
Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford,
that's right,
both
that's
ringside.
Right.
What do you have to say to them?
I don't have anything else to say. I do all my talking in the ring. Technically, I am in the ring right now, but you know what I mean, right?
For a guy like Terrence Crawford, who does not have a fight booked next, would you like that to be your next fight?
I would love that opportunity. You know what? If I get any opportunity from anyone, then of course. And Crawford is possibly the number one pound-for-pound boxer in the world. You know, definitely top two. And if they give me that opportunity, I'm looking at you, bud. I'm looking at you. If you want to make this happen, I'm more than willing to do it.
Do you believe at 22 years old you're ready for a Terrence Crawford?
I don't care if I'm ready or not. I want that fight.
Virgil Ortiz talking pretty bold last night after a win, of course, over Maurice Hooker. Now we take it to Southern California. The City of Angels are bringing the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant. And how are you this morning, sir, and how's the godmama?
Well, we're taking care of business, meaning reading newspapers and making up lists and like that.
Okay. Did you get a chance to see that Maurice Hooker fight last night?
No, I didn't. We've been home, and during the day I do my thing, and in the evenings when I'm not reading, we sort of curl up and try to find something good on the telly.
Okay. John Johnson, Buster Douglas's manager, called me yesterday, said he had a long conversation with you, and he was emotional over it. He really got off on his phone call with you. I mean, what did you guys talk about other than the fight? Anything?
Well, it's kind of interesting. He said some very nice things about me over the decades and sent me a framed poster of the fight and so on, and he's always expressed thanks that we didn't dismiss them before the fight. That the framework of the fight with the troubles that Buster was having with his family and such were part of the narrative of the whole thing, and what made the fight even more dramatic than the fight alone was. And he was always expressed that gratitude that we understood the circumstance of the fight, and we talked about it rather than the fact that 101% of the fans on the planet didn't give Buster a shot.
You know, I will take a little credit there. I was one of the few guys that reached out to Buster before the fight and interviewed him because I was a hot journalist back then, and I thought it was my responsibility to interview the challenger for the undisputed World Heavyweight Championship, and that's the way I sort of... I was a bit more responsible as a journalist back then than I am now, Larry.
Well, you climbed the stairways to the stars, and now you just make 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 everything up as you go along.
Okay, so, this one I don't have to make up. Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua have signed for 2 fights. They haven't signed for a location or a date yet, but they have agreed on paper to the 2 fights. I guess pretty good split here. They're going to split the first fight 50-50, and then the rematch will be 60-40. I mean, this is like common sense. I mean, why can't these other guys get this together at 147? I'm speaking of the aforementioned Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence.
Because in the case of the heavyweights, A, they're heavyweights, which means it will engage the whole world. Mm-hmm. And B, both of them have proved to be attractions. And it will help both of them to fight each other, and that there's a whole lot of moolah on the table to split up. And they're doing the sensible thing. They're fighters who are going to fight and make money.
Wilder's getting $10 million a step aside. That's why can't somebody pay me to not go to work?
I wonder if that's a world record.
that's got to be pretty close, because you and I have seen a couple $3 million, like $4 million go back and forth over the years as far as step aside money and things like that. But I don't think we've ever seen $10 million.
Nope. But I guess Wilder, with his long career, has earned it, and hopefully he'll use the time from now to then, whenever then may be, to become a better fighter.
Can you Larry, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, is our guest. We'll have him for a couple more minutes. Larry, do you envision, can you smell an Andre Ward comeback? Can you smell it?
No, because I don't know who he would come back against, unless it was Canelo. But we have to face the fact, or he does, that he was never as big of a draw as he was as big of a fighter. Mm-hmm. And so how much does that generate? Who knows Andre Ward here and there and around the globe? And how much can he make? So I don't know. Maybe it's more important to, maybe he's so well set up that he doesn't have to chase after a phantom. Mm-hmm. of a good, really good payday. And maybe he's just into another life, which I respect.
Okay.
So I'll be curious to see what he does, but it's an opportunity to make a big payday and make a big event, but he's been away from it for a while, and I don't know if you want to fight Canelo, who is at the peak of his career, if you haven't been fighting for a while.
Okay. Next week there's a rematch on TV. I think it'll be on DAZN as well. Dillian White, 27-2, and with 18 whacks, he's been stopped twice. He's going to take a stop by Joshua and the guy he's going to face, Alexander Povetkin, 36-2, one draw. You know, Povetkin's only lost 2 fights. The one to Joshua and the one to Klitschko, lost by stoppage to Joshua, lost by decision to Klitschko. That's a pretty damn good record, and he's knocked this guy out once, Larry. Does Dillian White come in scared just basically because he's been knocked out?
I don't know him well enough to have observed him in this or similar situations, and whether he loves being in there and wants to go for it, and this might be an opportunity for him to make an even bigger payday. I don't know what his circumstances are.
Okay.
Maybe his bank account is zero, and that will give him an incentive.
That's why I think Maurice Hooker took that fight last night. Money. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC-TV. Godfather, you and the Godmama have a great Sunday. I thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Pedro.
The one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Larry Merchant, on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.